Limb 1. All my life undoes, with my t-shirt discarded on the floor, with my flesh pricked pink and glistening in the hot glow of the lamp, with my breath dense as a downpour, with my hips pressed hard against the workbench, with my spine arced and shivering, with my throat open with her hand inside me, with our mouths ravenous, with the door behind us opening to the impervious wall of night, all my life undoes. Because my mother, standing in the doorway of the garden shed, screams, or at least that's how I'll remember it, a scream that pierces and pulls apart, her words all blurring together because I am already underwater. I feel the blood draining from my hands and feet, running back into my core to protect my heart. I feel weightless, yet impossibly here, because there's no escaping, there's only undoing. She has put her clothes back on. "Get dressed," she says. "Here, put this on." She thrusts my t-shirt into my lap. I clutch the shirt for a breath and feel this moment stretch out sideways. As I look through my own tears into her eyes, this girl I love shaking my head, crying inside, "No, no, no." As she manages a smile and squeezes my shoulders and my limbs quake like they already know what I'm about to lose. Because she leaves, pushing past my mother, out into the darkness, running off down the street. I will never see her again. She is gone. My father has heard the scream, and by the time he finds my mother, I am a shuddering, shaking, trembled mess. My mother is in the doorway, pointing at me. "What is it?" he asks, hands open and reaching for me. "Are you okay?" And for a moment, I think I am saved, forgiven. A moment passes. "She was," my mother starts, struggling for words, "with her." I scramble to my feet. "Dad, wait, please." His eyes dart between my mother and me. I am in my cotton shirt and pajama pants. He looks down at my bare feet. The garden shed smells of wood, shavings and compost and flesh. "What the hell is going on?" he asks, face fattening with frustration. "Your daughter," says my mother, looking away from me, her face contorted by repulsion, like she can no longer fathom that I am of her. "She was touching that girl." "Touching? Oh, come on," my mother shrieks, erupting with tears. "For God's sake, she was kissing that slut." That single word is an axe, heart hacked into bloody chunks, because this summer rolled through me like black thunder, hot and heaving, and she witnessed me in strikes of lightning, flashes of truth and ecstasy. With her, my naked body shifted from an object of desire to the subject of the story. She saw me in all my horror, my blood sparkling red, staining her fingers the first time she reached inside me. And I liked how it felt, being turned inside out, learning that the self becomes whole in the moment it is opened. I watch now, my hands on my mother's chest, shoving her body as if they are someone else's hands. My mother's head hits the shed wall so hard I think she might break through it. Her lips round into an O. As a rush of air leaves her throat, winded, she gasps. I watch her floundering in a pool of shock and disgust. My father's hands are around my neck before I think to run. He drags me through the door, out onto the back lawn. And in the soft glow of the porch light, I see my father's face, the colour of a salmon belly sliced open, fleshy and wild. I try to speak, but his grip holds all the words. He raises his fist, hesitates. I think, I might die here. The blow is swift, cold on the face, the way ice almost feels hot. I land flat on my back. The earth beneath me is spinning, but spinning the other way, the wrong way. I breathe in the sweetness of freshly cut grass. Inside muscle, the scent becomes the stench I will forever associate with the last time I see my father, because as he kneels for another strike, I roll and scramble to my feet. He grabs my ankle, yanks me back. I kick him in the face, feel his nose crunch beneath my heel. He lets go and I am free, up and running, through the side gate, down the driveway, barefoot on concrete. I run and run and run until my feet are bleeding and I'm collapsing into the beginning of what will be my after. Because I know already that I'll never sleep in that bed or swim in that pool or piss in that toilet or eat at that table. I'll never again be between the borders of that house because my being is transgression. A ghost there now, slipping through the plaster and the weatherboard, bleeding on the grass, seeped into earth. I'll exist in that house only as an echo of everything before. All my life, here it is, undone. Limb 2. I wake in a heave of breath, reach for my bedside lamp and pull the string. Between my legs I feel the wet of my underwear. Behind my eyes I recall her, me, us, with startling realness, as if it were a memory. And perhaps it is, a memory of a yearning. Because in this dream, she's on her back, a white singlet, shades of pink. I am grinding, her hands on my hips guiding me back and forth, mouth ajar, breath shuttling. She makes sounds I haven't heard before, sounds that excite me, sounds that make my heart flutter like starling wings, like a great migration south, a murmuration in the sky, swelling and contracting. The room is dark and blurry at the edges. Everything is burning, aching deep inside, and it feels good, this ache. A pulsation making me feel that I am alive. I am alive. Together we bend and arc and grind in the unmoored glow. I look up, see the ceiling dissolve, fall away, light avalanches in. My eyes adjust, and her face comes into focus. Her since 5 years old. Her since knobbly knees and missing teeth. Her since the beginning of memory, time, desire. Her here she is. I let out a deep sigh, thinking of all the dreams. So many dreams, one after another, calcifying in the shape of her body. I remember her nipples hard beneath her singlet. I remember the sounds she made. I remember the unmoored glow, and all I want is to forget. Because there she is, asleep on the pull-out mattress on the floor of my bedroom. I look down at my best friend, her still body washed over by tender light. Her face is dreaming soft. I watch her sleeping in this moment that feels swollen and wide as a lake. Then, slowly, I reach for the lamp, pull the string, and turn off the light, plunge back into darkness. Limb 1. There's a community park where I used to play with the boys in my suburb, back when I was kicking the footy and getting tackled and jumping out of trees just like them. Back when I had cropped hair and taut skin just like them. Back before my body swelled and they became scared to tackle me, worried about hurting a girl. Back before I became the pulse of their desire, suddenly watched, suddenly craved. I don't realise that I'm back in this park until the sky whitens and the spray-painted lines of the footy field take shape. I'm sitting against the trunk of a Moreton Bay fig overlooking the park. The tree's skin is ribbed, veiny, cold. I wonder how old it is. It has been here for as long as I can remember, with its wide crown and huge slumped arms. A kookaburra swoops down from the sky, landing on the branch above me. I crane my neck to look up at it, perched just above my head. I sit still in quiet, not wanting to scare it away, as day slowly breaks all around us. I imagine what my face must look like in the quickening light, one eye swollen shut. The throb of my flesh is an anchor hooked into the dirt of the present. I am held here by this pain, sharp-edged and metallic. I remember how I felt the first time I sat with her by the still water of the creek, how everything became rippled and saline, how she had laughed at my nervousness, how I'd laughed at hers, how we witnessed each other. Suddenly, the kookaburra begins to laugh. The sound, fresh feathered and glittering, reverberates out through the park into this new day. It feels cruel and absurd and beautiful.